रघुपति राघव राजन पतित पावन सीताराम रघुपति राघव राजन पतित पावन रघुपति राघव राजन पतित पावन सीताराम।
Sat Shri Srimati Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Vimsa Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Bhasari Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vinda Vindam Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Gangamaye Ki Jai, Jamunamaye Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Ki Jai, Shri Ramnami Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru. Anybody know what our schedule is? You know how, when you're supposed to stop?
When?
I don't
know. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9. This is Lord Chaitanya's travels to the holy places. This is just two-part pastime, just before and after he reached Setubandha and Rameshwaram. On the way to Rameshwaram, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ram Bhakta, Brahman, in southern Mathura. This is south India, Mathura. And this Brahman invited Mahaprabhu to his home for lunch. And the Lord, attracted by his devotion, was happy to accept that invitation. But when he arrived there at lunchtime, he saw that the Brahmana had not made any preparations for cooking, which is unusual. So he asked him, and he also noticed that he was very, sad. And he asked him, why haven't you made any arrangements to cook? You invited me for lunch. And the Brahmin replied, my dear Lord, we are now living in a forest, and at this moment I have no ingredients for cooking. When Lakshman comes back from the forest and brings the ingredients, Sita Devi will arrange the cooking. In the next verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes a very worthy comment. He said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to see this Brahma, this method of worship. And seeing the Lord's pleasure, which was because of something much deeper than was transpiring on the visual platform. Because on the obvious platform, he neglected the Lord, invited him for lunch, made no preparations for cooking. But the Lord was very pleased because he could see what was going on a deeper level. Seeing the Lord's pleasure, although he didn't warrant it because of his breach in hospitality, which is a serious matter of etiquette, kind of brought the Brahmana back to this world, and he began very quickly to cook and serve the Lord later in the afternoon. But Mahaprabhu saw that this Brahman, Ramdas Rupa, was very sad, very sorrowful, and he asked him. And he also wasn't eating. He said, "Why are you so sad? Why are you so worried? And why are you fasting?" And he replied that, "I have no reason to live. And I'm on the verge of giving up my life, either entering into the fire or drowning myself in the water. Because I cannot bear the news that Mother Sita, the chaste goddess of devotion, has been touched by this demon Ravana. It's too troubling." And because of this, my body is burning, alive, but still, I do not die. And he said, "You're a learned pundit. Why don't you consider this case philosophically?" Sita Devi, consort of Lord Ram, has a spiritual form made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. No conditioned soul has the power to even see her, or to speak of touch her. So obviously, we can understand philosophically that Ravana abducted an illusory form. So hearing the obvious conclusion, which he could have easily ascertained himself, but due to this deeper bhav raging within his heart, was oblivious to the philosophical, rational interpretation, the Brahma became very enlivened. And then Mahaprabhu continued on his tour to Sektibandha, the Meshram, and then he visited a temple where the Brahmanas were reciting the verses of the Kurma Purana, where the actual narration is given of the glories of Mother Sita and how when Ravana came, she took shelter of Agni, who put her in the care of Parvati, and Ravana made off with a false form of Mother Sita. So Mahaprabhu went right to the temple authorities and made a very humble but fervent plea that that portion of the text be copied by the scribes. They keep the copy in the temple, and he take the original manuscript, to which they complied, and he backtracked all the way to the hermitage of Ramdas Rupa and gave him that manuscript, which brought great happiness to Ramdas Rupa.
brought him to the realization, "Sir, you are my Lord Ramachandra himself." And you've come back to me in the form of a sannyasi to deliver me from a very unhappy condition. And therefore I request you, please accept my invitation for lunch again, because I was so disturbed and distressed the last time you visited me that I cannot serve you properly. By good fortune you returned to me, and that Brahman very happily made a first-class dinner which he offered the Mahaprabhu. And the Lord is pleased to spend his night, that night, in the hermitage of that Brahmana. And after showing him complete mercy, he continued on his tour. The Ramayana is the most fantastic tale of adventure ever told. It's a story of a period in the Treta Yuga when gods and heroes walked amongst men, and great emperors and kings were guided by realized brahmanas and powerful sages, and great heroes waged war against rakshasas, who are not ordinary cannibals like you find on this planet. These are celestial beings with very sophisticated mystic powers and elaborate military skills. And there's many ways to approach and appreciate the text. We choose the personal way, in which the depth and the dimension of the infinite wisdom informs us about the full emotion, the full spectrum of human emotions, from the deepest sufferings to the highest ecstasies, and the relationship in between them. By which we glean spiritual insight and understand aspects of ourselves, some of which we would rather keep hidden and concealed. But in the process, we recognize aspects of our own behavior which can be very destructive to ourselves and to our relationships, as well as other patterns of thinking and responding to the circumstances in this world, which redeems our consciousness and leads us on the path back to home. In the process of self-discovery, we find parts of ourselves that are so deeply personal, but are also most universal. The pains, the longings, the regrets, the mistakes, the broken resolutions are personified in different characters. And their lives touch us in ways vastly different from what historical personalities do. They speak to us very strongly because they represent different aspects of our own self and reflect different aspects of our soul. We resist thinking that we could have the propensities of Kaikeyi. We prefer to identify with characters like Amana. But that's to miss the full depth and spectrum of meaning. And and to miss feeling the movement of the soul in resonance with the story, which is meant to touch and uplift our lives and give us a glimpse into the infinite possibilities of the soul, without which our vision of ourselves in this world remains superficial and narrow, and we become satisfied to present to ourselves and to others a mere facade of who and what we really are, just like Ravana, who simply took away a facade of Mother Sita. So this is a conflict between the Lord of Love and the God of Lust, Ravana. So you can put historical beginnings on Ramayana, but it has no beginning. It surfaces at different times, in different ways, in different forms. But the appearance and the development and the disappearance and reappearance of Ramayana is part of the cyclical patterns of the universe. One form of Ramayana came into existence when Narada Muni visited his dear disciple Valmiki, who you know previously was a dacoit and hunter in the forest, who jumped out of the forest and arrested Narada Muni long prior to this pastime and said, "Give me your money or give me your life." And he was very surprised at the response of Narada Muni that, "I have no money and I have eternal life. So what do you want?" And he thought about that. "I'll take the eternal life." He said, "Well, then you have to chant the name of the Lord." He said, "I can't, I'm too sinful." He said, "Well, then chant the name of death, Mara." He took that instruction to heart. And in the forest, after a long, long time chanting Mara, 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 Rama, 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 Narada Muni came back to see how he was, and he was becoming self-realized as Mara transformed into Rama. So, by that time, Lord Ramachandra had already visited his ashram, and seeing his virtues, his characteristics, the depth of his humility, his dedication to righteousness, his gentleness in dealings with others, he suspected that he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he wanted it confirmed by his Guru Maharaj. So he asked Narada Muni, "You traveled everywhere, you know everything. So please tell me, who is the most virtuous man on earth, whose character is so spotless, who is self-controlled, so powerful that he can manipulate material energy and control the devas, but yet, in spite of his power, is never corrupt and is humble, forgiving, and always offering shelter to the weak and surrendered souls and those who are vulnerable?" He said, "That's Sri Ramachandra, who is now residing again in Ayodhya. This is after the Battle of Lanka. He fits your description." And he described how in Lord Ramachandra's kingdom, even for the citizens, there's no premature death, no fear of disease, no harm from others. Everyone is devoted to righteousness. It rains right on schedule, never too much or too little. Food production is adequate. Everyone is dedicated to their duties. And because of placing the lotus feet of Lord Rama in their hearts, everyone is completely satisfied. So, Narada Muni recited Ramayana in a nutshell.
to Valmiki and his disciples, and then departed. And then, sometime thereafter, when Valmiki Muni went to the river to bathe, he saw these two beautiful young birds. They were cranes, which are actually very attractive. And they were playing and sporting in the youth of their lives. And he was appreciating the beauty of nature. And sadhus develop a deep rapport, not only with the humans, but the animals and the plants who live in their vicinity. So he was appreciating how happy and delighted his neighbor friends were, when suddenly and unexpectedly, from behind a tree, the Nishana hunter shot his arrow, which pierced the male bird, who fell down on the ground, covered with blood and flapping in pain and crying piteously. And his consort was just overwhelmed with grief. And right at approaching the heights of their youthful romantic pastimes, he was struck down, not even dead, but just mortally wounded, and screaming in agony. And his consort was helpless to do anything. And seeing that, from the pure heart of Valmiki Muni came a curse, that as you have deprived my friends of their life, right in their youth, when they were sporting together, just envisioning bringing a family into this world, and you ended it all so abruptly and cruelly, I curse you that for the rest of your days you will wander throughout this world without home or family. And he was shocked. Why did I do that? After all, these things are inevitable in this world. Whenever things are going nicely and smoothly, you know that around the corner there's going to be disaster. It's inevitable. It's not even an event. It's just the current of this world. So he was surprised. Why was I overcome with such emotion that I cursed that hunter? But he's also amazed. Because the verse from that shok, from that sorrow, came out the shloka, which was beautiful. Exquisite rhyme and meter and poetry. And he was marveling at the beauty of the verse. And he was lamenting, why did I curse the hunter? And he was marveling at the verse. And he was lamenting, he was marveling, all the way back to his ashram. And then Brahma came down on his swan and landed in the ashram. And Valmiki and all the disciples offered their obeisances, worship and served Lord Brahma, offered him a seat. And Valmiki confessed to Brahma, I don't know what overcame me. I'm so disheartened at what I did, but I'm so enlightened at the way it came out. And Brahma said, this is all my arrangement for a higher purpose. Because I desire that you take what Narada summarily described to you and expand it. This is the will of providence. And write the history of Ram. And every mood, every character, how they looked, what they did, what they were feeling, the depths of tragedy, the heights of their ecstasy, the pain they underwent,
It will all be as clear to you as a fruit in the palm of your hands. And you describe that all, the way it's manifest and played out within your heart. And as long as mountains stand and rivers flow and seas exist in this world, the Ramayana will be sung to uplift people of this world and enchant them on the path back to home. So then Valmiki took up the writing of Ramayana. And of course, in his ashram, there was Sita Devi, who he gave another name so that nobody would know and be upset with Lord Ram for banishing her to the forest, pregnant with twins. So Lava and Kush, the twin sons of Lord Ramachandra, were also learning the Ramayana from Valmiki as he composed and taught it. And they played their lutes with such expertise and sang with such sweet voices and enacted the drama with such feeling. And even in more recent times, Srila Prabhupada is very delighted with the writings of Maharaj Kulishekar, who so much loved to hear Ramayana. But somewhat like this Ramdas Vipra, he was drawn more and more to actually enter into the Leela by hearing. So he was a king, a leader of many Kshatriyas. And when he was hearing from this priest how Suparnaka came to Nasik and Ram and Lakshman were teasing her, and then she got ferocious and assaulted Sita Devi, and Lakshman cut off her nose. She ran back to Kara and Dushan, who were the cousin brothers of Ravana, told them, and they sent their 14 rakshasas, powerful warriors that no mortal being could defeat, easily defeated them. They sent 14,000 rakshasa reinforcements. Maharaj Kulashekar heard that. He said, "They need our help. Let's go." And with sword in hand, he was leading his army to Nasik. And then the priest was thinking, well, what's going to happen when he gets there? He's going to be so disappointed. This, you know, Leela finished millions of years ago. So they sent some of the Kshatriyas ahead very quickly. They turned around and coming back. And they met Maharaj Kulashekar. "Where are you coming from?" "Nasik. That's where we're going. What's happening in the battle?" Said, "It's all over. Lord Ram single-handedly defeated those 14,000 Rakshasas." Maharaj Kulashekar said, "Jai Shri Ram," and he went back to his kingdom very happy. And the priest learned that you have to be very selective what pastimes you recite to Maharaj Kulashekar. So you can't, because Ram Leela is very unique amongst all avatars. It's not, it's in between Aishwarya and Madhurya. And Lord Ram is very unique. He's not like Krishna, who's continually, repeatedly revealing and saying that I'm the Supreme Personality of God. He manifests the universal form in his mouth. The Brahma Jyoti, the Vaikuntha, Raghupta Goloka to the Vrijavasis, lifting Govardhan Hill, he is speaking Bhagavad Gita, demanding surrender. Lord Ram is never proclaiming his Godhood. He is subjecting himself to the human experience. All the trauma, all the heartbreak, all the ordeal, wanting to experience that separation.
which continues into Krishna Lila, and then further into Chaitanya Lila, and then further beyond that. That separation, which brings tears even to the hearts of meat eaters. It's so touching. And yet it's so irresistible. Because there's a sweetness within the pain. Partly because, you know, it's just another dynamic of spiritual ecstasy. And it leads to deeper sambhog. And it's very enchanting and alluring. It actually draws the soul into the lila. So Maharaj Kulishekar, like this Ramdas Vipra, was entering in. So they realized, don't let him hear the pastimes where Ram is vulnerable or where the separation is too intense, because he'll just, you don't know how he'll respond. But then one day the priest was sick. And his son took over his duties of reciting the Ramayana, and he didn't know this policy. So he was reciting about the battle in Lanka, how Ram, with his armies of monkeys and bears, was fighting fiercely to regain the hand of Sita. And Maharaj Kulishekar again, let's go, they need our help. So he was marching to Setubandhu, which Lord Chaitanya has just come back from, with his armies. Setubandhu means the bridge that the monkeys made, but it went underwater millions of years ago. So they reached Setubandhu, which now is just the name of the place. There's no bridge. But that didn't stop him. He's marching into the ocean with his armies, and the water's coming to his waist, to his chest, to his neck, to his mouth, to his nose, and over his head. All you could see above the water was his upraised sword as he's marching down into the depths of the ocean with his army behind him. And Lord Ram was thinking, this is no way for a Kshatriya to give up his life. So he appeared before him right there in the ocean with Sita Devi. Look, I got her back. And fully satisfied with that darshan, Sita Ram, Kulishekar Maharaj, returned to his kingdom. Now, Shukadeva Goswami says there's many things we have to learn from Ramlila. One is that Bhaktajis, like children, need protection. They should never be left alone. Also, that there's no suffering that of attachment to the opposite sex. But most importantly, Ram wanted to experience that vipralabhav, which Lord Chaitanya so highly recommended, as a means of increasing and enhancing our love for Krishna, as well as our own sense of humility. Because if you think you're entering into relationship with Krishna, you can very easily become proud. When Krishna's far away and you're feeling neglected and rejected and forsaken, you can develop the proper sentiments to actually attract the Lord into your heart. So why is the Supreme Lord, the controller of Maya, who is insurmountable? Lord Krishna says it's energy of mine is insurmountable. It's impossible to overcome, even for Brahma. But the Lord manipulates material energy to free the devotees as he's pleased with their humility. But why does he have to subject himself like a puppet in the hands of destiny to go through such suffering? And it's not just play. He's actually experiencing the emotions. Why? Because he loves us so much that he comes personally to show us the right path, for which he endures so much pain, to evoke some spiritual emotion from our own hearts. So,
Valmiki began to describe how north the Ganga is the kingdom of Kosala, made fertile by the Saraya, whose capital, Ayodhya, true to its name, could not be conquered by any foe, made famous by Manu, the solar of the Solar Dynasty who created that empire, where Dasarath Maharaj reigned, directed by his eight wise ministers, and sages like Vasishta and Vamadeva taught Dharma. Taxes were light, justice was fair, and the king rose in splendor like the sun, more as time went on. But one regret was like a dark cloud covering the kingdom that he had no son. So he was thinking that performance of an ashwamedha yajna would fulfill his desire. So he consulted with his ministers who affirmed. Simultaneous was another conference in heaven, heavenly planets, where the devas approached Brahma and said, "This Ravana, intoxicated by the power of the boon given by you, is mistreating everyone. So you must do something because you gave him the benediction." And Brahma said, "Yes." I gave him the benediction that he would be invincible to devas, asuras, gandharvas, and others. But he, in his arrogance, he couldn't bring himself to ask for protection from a man. The devas understood the hint and turned to Lord Vishnu, who responded by telling them that he would take birth as his fourfold expansion from the three wives of Dasarath. So as the fire from the ghee rose to meet the ladle, a majestic figure emerged from the flames of the golden bowl, gave it to the kings and distributed to your wives, and they all became pregnant. So, the ministers of Maharaj Kulashekar would generally recite to him how little Lord Ram is playing in the courtyard, and his ankle bells are jingling, and Dasarath Maharaj is happy, and the citizens are peaceful. And amongst the benedictions of Ramayana, if you want progeny, you hear that part. If you want victory, you hear about the battles. If you want to go back to Godhead, you hear the advice, the directions, the counsel, the instructions given by the sages in the forest, and in the kingdom also. So, Lord Ramachandra is subjecting himself every condition of the human experience, but in more intensified form, to teach us in every condition how to be dedicated to the path of virtue and detached and forgiving and tolerant. And he was so charming that even those male rishis in Dandakaranya, they wanted to marry him. He said, "No, I can't. He's vowed. I only have one wife. But next time, in Krishna Lila, your desires will be fulfilled." So, everything was going smoothly and beautifully, happily in Ayodhya, until Dasarath Maharaj got the sense that he
did not have much longer to live. And Bharat was at his ancestor's home far away. And he consulted with his ministers who approved the plan that he coronated Ram as the emperor. Hearing the news, the citizens were all singing and dancing, and elephants were sweeping the roads with scented waters, and there was festoons and flags and festivities everywhere, and everyone was elated, and Kaikeyi was decorating herself nicely because she loved Lord Ram at least as much as her own son Bharat. But there's an element, there's a character in the drama who represents a part of our own selves, this dark side, which is insecure, fearful, and manipulative. So the only person in the whole kingdom who is not elated was Mantara. And by the power of her wicked association, the unimaginable abomination became manifest. Kaikeyi was very resistant for a long time and through many discussions. But the power of wicked association corrupts the mind. And she convinced Kaikeyi that you should be the Rajmata, not a Dasi. Mantara told her, I raised you. I know you. Listen to me. And gradually, her influence corrupted the mind of Kaikeyi. And she reminded Dasarath of the two promises. But when that was conveyed to Ram, it's very illuminating. When Kaikeyi informed Ram, because Dasarath couldn't speak, he was just crying and trembling, he could not even look upon his son. He was so disturbed. So Kaikeyi told him, she summoned Ram. And he came rising, my father even looking at me. And she said, there's a change in events. Bharat will be the emperor, and you are banished to the forest for 14 years. And the wonderful response, without even a tinge of emotion, Lord Ram said, if that is my father's word, and my dear mother, Kaikeyi, why do you doubt my character? You didn't have to persuade him to give you the two promises. If you had simply told me to go to the forest, I would have gone happily. How much more happily I go, knowing that is my father's order, and you are trying to please him by conveying his order to me. I'm very happy to fulfill his word and protect his honor. Dasarath was completely speechless. Kaikeyi said, go quickly. He said, I just have to gain consent of my other matas and persuade Sita, and I'll be gone. And if this journey costs me all my possessions, if this journey costs me my wife and my life, I will not consider it, because I worship my father and his word, whose order I will serve in all circumstances. And then when Bharat came to the forest and Ram sent him back, he gave him an instruction which accentuates his commitment to duty, honor, virtue, and the word of his superiors. He told Bharat that you should serve Kaikeyi with more attention than you even serve Kausalya, because she is more dear to my father. And so Ramalila is a progression of more deeply painful tragedies. And you know how when Sita Devi told Ram that at last she was pregnant, and he was so delighted, he said, "Is there anything I can offer you or do for you to celebrate this good news?" And she said, "I want to go back to the forest by Valmiki's ashram, because we took so much service and counsel and wisdom from the sages and their wives. We had nothing to reciprocate at the time. I want to go back for one night only and give saris and jewels and riches to the sages' wives to reciprocate the kindness, the hospitality, the shelter they offered us those 14 years. And he was so delighted. He said, "Yes, tomorrow we'll go." But then tomorrow, in the morning council, as Bhadra gave the State of the Union address, I guess that's what they call it, and he was saying that everything is very wonderful, but he was looking at the ground. And Ram detected something was wrong. His words were not aligned with what was in his heart. He said, "What's wrong?" And Bhadra knew he couldn't conceal anything from Ram. And he revealed that, again, there's criticism. So he took Lakshman aside. "You take Sita. You drive the chariot. And just after she offers her prayers to the Ganga outside Valmiki's ashram, abandon her there. Just leave her. Tell her she's forsaken." This was Lakshman's hardest trial to date, although there was worse ones to come. So we're running out of time, so you're probably familiar with the whole how she was forsaken. And as Bharat was leaving, and she finally composed herself just for a second, she said, "Tell my Lord Ram I'm not angry or upset with him. He's my master, my deity, my Lord. And if forsaking me preserves his honor and dignity, that is my dharma. I would drown myself on the spot. I'm now carrying the descendants of his line." So then, you know, finally after Love and Krush came and reciting Ramayana, which just changed everybody's hearts, and they repented, "Why were we so vicious? Bring her back." And she came back, and as she was testifying, and Valmiki was testifying, the earth opened up, Bhumi rose up, held out her hand, took Sita Devi onto the throne, and back down into the earth, which closed. And Ram became furious. He said, "Bhumi, my mother-in-law who gave birth to Sita, either give her back or give me a place within your shelter also." But then Brahma told him, "Hey, Narayan, this is a part of the sequence terminating your Leela." And he was somewhat pacified. But then, very unusual ascetic arrived, glowing with a deep aura.
announcing himself as a messenger of Brahma, demanding private audience with Ram. He said, if anyone interrupts our conversation, you, Sri Ram, have to kill that person. So Ram told Lakshman, guard the door, make sure nobody interrupts us. They went in, shut the door, and Durvasa Muni arrived and demanded, I must see Ram right this instant. And Lakshman tried to restrain, said, if you do not allow me in that room right now, your family, brothers, and kingdoms will be destroyed by my anger, which right now is already becoming unmanageable. So he realized, either I give up my life at the hands of Ram, or the whole country is annihilated by Durvasa Muni's wrath. He went in the room. He said, Durvasa's here. Lord Ram came up, what is it? I've been fasting for 1,000 years. I'm hungry. I wanted to be fed by you. And Lord Ram fed him with such hospitality and love, he was satisfied and left. And then he realized, Lakshman told him, my Lord, you have to kill me now. That was the condition. Now Ram had given indications all along, and it's very interesting, that he could handle being separated from Sita, but he could not handle being separated from Lakshman. That brotherly camaraderie was even deeper. And now he realized, I have to kill Lakshman. So he consulted with Vashishta what to do. He said, there's two ways to kill. One is to abandon him, to sever your relationship with him. That's equal or worse than slaying him. So Lord had to renounce. Lord had to announce that I sever my relationship with Lakshman. Lakshman went to the bank of the river, fasting until death. Indra came down in his chariot and took him up. And then Lord Ram had no reason to go on, no reason to live. He left, went to the forest. Everyone in Ayodhya, there was not a bird, a beast, an insect, anything. Not one jiva left in Ayodhya. They all went with him to the Ganga, to Gangotri, where, entering into meditation, Vishnu appeared on Garuda, coming down. Lord Ram entered into Vishnu's form, and in pursuance of the benediction given to the Ayodhya Vasis, that they didn't have to die if they didn't want to, they had all followed Ram to Gangotri. And watching him ascend, they saw from above millions of golden chariots coming down, picking them up and taking them home. And for everyone else in this world, in the rest of the world, and for all time to come, he gave the opportunity to understand. The story of banishment is not a tale of some land far away, a time long ago. It's a story of us. Here and now, all conditioned souls who have banished the Lord from their hearts. And this is the means, Krishna consciousness is the means of inviting and attracting him back to the altar of our hearts, to reign on the throne of our consciousness, and purify our lives, and uplift our thoughts, and harmonize our relationships, and facilitate placing his lotus feet within our hearts, as he did for everyone in his empire. And this immortal tale of adventure, wisdom, and love continues to enchant the hearts of countless souls to repent. And repent doesn't mean you just feel bad about yourself. It means you redirect your life from the kind of consciousness inspired by mantra's evil counsel to the kind of counsel continually given by Lord Ram in the sages, that in every experience of life, we should be humble, forgiving, tolerant, compassionate, and those qualities will attract the Lord back into the kingdom of our hearts from where we banished him long, long ago. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Shri Ramachandra ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.